Mud Podcast presents.
Welcome to Tech Mud right here on KMud. I'm your host, Garth, and I'm joined by Rick as well. This is the show where we talk about technology, the good, the bad, and maybe the downright scary. And always, we're here to answer your tech-related questions. Phone number here, 923-3911. We open up the phone lines about 7:30. Larry, thanks for engineering, and he will be getting you on the air with us if needed. Rick, how's it going? It's been a month.
It's going well, yeah. Another month has gone by, and lots of things have happened since the last month. And it's been quite the year, I must say, you know.
Yeah, it's been the year in review as I was thinking about it. The word AI just pops up way too much. There's hopefully some other stuff. Yeah, I know. I had one. I don't really have a huge amount of local news tonight. I usually try to find some. I've got one project I'm playing with, and I think you had you liberated a vacuum cleaner, as I
read. I wish. Yeah, no, it's more like a deal. Yeah, I'll bring that up. I've got a bunch of news articles, but I won't read them all unless we need to. And when I get to the one about iRobot, then I'll tell my story about what happened.
Okay.
To me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, geez, I've tried out all sorts of different devices like that, but I tend to give them about a 30-day trial run and return them. Honestly,
well, that's actually a good idea. You know, I've had a lot of stuff that's tech, and the thing that's, you know, that I've already mentioned on the show in the past is that to avoid things that are cloud connected, because, you know, as you kindly put it, you're at the whim of the robot master lords or whatever, the robot lords.
Yeah, you really are.
And I've had several items, you know, that I've talked about, but I might as well dig into this. iRobot, everyone has known them. They've made home robots. There was some controversy for a while that they were scanning your house and then selling that information. But they filed for bankruptcy. And, you know, yeah, it's been 35 years.
I guess people's home information wasn't as valuable as they once thought. No.
Well, that is part of it. And then the other part is that there's a lot of competition because they're not the only robot vacuum cleaner in town. And quite frankly, they're not necessarily the best. And that was one of the thing. So now to get into my saga, I have a robot that I bought years ago. It's
like a vacuum cleaner type of thing.
A robot vacuum cleaner. And it was made from a company named Neato. And I thought it was a really neat thing. But the thing is you use an app to control it. The app goes through the web. So the robot, when it wakes up, it contacts their web server or their cloud service. And then when you control it, you're going through the cloud service to control it. Well, they actually had sold the company and kind of were at least the company that owned them. You know, they were shutting down, and they had made this company that took over, said they were going to make a 5-year promise to keep things going. And then all of a sudden, abruptly, in October, they decided to pull the plug 3 or 4 years before their promise. So basically, my robot went from being a smart bot that I could control to functionally a dumb robot. I can turn it on and tell it to clean the room, but some of the cool features that it had are not available because I can't log in through the app. And
its brain was basically hosted by that company in a cloud computer.
It still has the brain. It just, I can't upload the data to it. You know, it's kind of weird, you know, how they had that all set up. But one of the things this company did that I didn't like is that they had several models, all virtually the same robot. And the only difference was the software. So, you know, you paid $100, you got something that was kind of dumb. You paid $300, you got something that was smarter and connected to the internet. And when you got up to their $700-$800, you could drive it around like a little car. But there wasn't really much difference in the robot. It was all the same.
All the same parts and pieces.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was all the same. And it was just their software, which I always felt was an insult. Well, now what's happened is, especially for those people who bought the $800, $700 models, basically your robot has turned into the $100 model. So the person who had just the, you know, you press the button and it cleans at random and figures it out, that still works.
I mean, I guess you should be happy that it still functions as a vacuum and they didn't break it.
Unfortunately, one of the big selling points that the reason, you know, I didn't get the lowest one and I didn't get the highest one. I couldn't justify the money for driving it around like a little sports car. And I couldn't, and I wanted the smarts. And one of the things it had, which was, you know, what I used it, is that you tell it to go and vacuum the room once or vacuum the house, and it builds a map. Then you could go into the map and you could set up barriers, you know, like digital barriers.
So I've seen physical, like infrared, like type barriers or little devices.
I think it still supports magnet strips if you lay magnet strips down, but those become a hassle, you know, when you're vacuuming with a regular vacuum. And the thing is I had sections, you know, where maybe that's where, you know, something to do with the animals and feeding, like a section where the carpet was kind of coming up because the cats have scratched it or something.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck on like some stuff.
So I would digitally block those out, and that's all gone. So
out of curiosity, how long have you had that thing?
Okay. Oh, probably since 2018.
Oh, so that's a pretty good run for it to actually still be functioning.
The thing still works perfectly. All the parts are there. It's just a web. So I actually have started trying to search the internet on trying to see if maybe there might be a way to emulate the cloud
service. If somebody's really into it, they'll do it, though. I don't know how much market share that company had.
No, it has to be freeware. Yeah, it's just one of those things. So,
hey, this is Tech Mud right here on K-Mud. We're talking technology. We're going to get into kind of a year in review in a little bit, maybe some tech news. And, of course, if you have questions, call in at 1:30 and we'll
It doesn't have to be on our topics. You know, it could be on anything you want to talk about, as long as it's technology. Did you hear about what Australia did Denmark is basically following suit.
Okay, so you're talking about the ban on social media for anybody under the age of 16, and that, this is like Facebook, even maybe Reddit, other stuff. I'll be interested to see how that pans out. I mean, most of the tech companies are, of course, complying because it's full.
Yeah, but they're complaining as well. You know, Meta and all these other ones are suing.
It'll be interesting psychological kind of overview. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Basically, it'll be like how young adults will be affected, and how it even works in reality, and can they pull it off?
Well, they're already, you know, I mean, let's face it, you know, when I was a minor, I found ways to get around the laws, you know, even though it was probably for cigarettes and
honestly,
drinking
if it had happened to me at the age, I was probably doing a radio show on KMUD at like 19 or something. If they had tried that, I would have been ranting and raving about it, even if it didn't affect me.
Right. Well, it is kind of interesting. And there's other countries that are doing it. You know, China already has like restrictions on how long you can be on the phone and how long you can play games. And
Which I always found it very interesting. So their version of TikTok, right, is structured for the Chinese people, so they're not seeing the same things as Americans are. They don't want to get brain rotted. They have much more educational material.
Right. Well, talk about brain rot. You know, we watch, unfortunately, a lot of YouTubes, and it does feed you with brain rot, and that actually opens up a different news article, and that is podcasts are being overtaken by AI bots are flooding the airways with thousands of programs.
You mean like actual AI content that it's just making a show and pushing it out there?
It's across the board. I mean, there's one company that just has a few employees, and they're actually making money as a podcasting company because they're using these things. And what's a drag is that a lot of times the information isn't true. It's just making it up.
Yeah. And it's so easy for like, you know, three guys with some computer power to just generate so much stuff and push it out there that some of it's going to hit and be like, oh, hey, that show was popular. Let's keep doing that one. You know,
that's exactly. And what I've seen, and it makes me cringe, is how stuff, you know, becomes like all of a sudden it gets picked up by something, and then next thing you know, they're all talking about it as if it's real.
Yeah,
you know, and that's scary. Weird. You know, and
yeah,
and
same
so,
things
yeah.
happening with video and images on certain like little short videos and stuff. There's just I would call it AI slop. It's in
AI
print media.
Slop. That's a great
it's in all
for
forms
it.
Of media, basically. It's out there. Spotify, the music service, has its own AI music generations, like, you know, sector of their company, so that they can push stuff out, and you know what, they don't have to pay anything for the plays that gets, you know, not that they pay much to the poor starving artists anyway.
Well, but that is something that we saw happen, you know, in this year, where, you know, I mean, we talked about it before, you know, where an AI created band was all fake, but it had pictures of these guys, you know, the
AI
women
generated.
Were cooing over, you know, or girls or whatever, you know, and it was all fake, you know. So I think this is what's, you know, another thing that's tearing me up with this whole recreation stuff is that on YouTube, you know, we see these commercials, and what's getting me, I guess, annoyed is that they're commercials for things that have been around 20, 30 years ago, you know, like the little puppy, you know, and it's totally AI created, right? It's not a real human.
Is this not like is it an actual commercial like you would watch, like that they are paying for, or is this like something that's just put on YouTube as a
an actual commercial that comes up during on YouTube when you get those
interrupts
breaks.
Your programming. Okay,
yeah. And like the one in particular that just, you know, is so offensive is that it's this elderly woman talking about this puppy, saying how her granddaughter gives it commands and it does everything, you know, and she, even her neighbor who was a veterinarian, thought it was a real dog, you know, and they mix images of a real dog like a real puppy, and then they blend it with images of this robot dog, and then mm-hmm. you know, you can find someone who's bought one and puts it on there, and it's just like the little dog that was around when I was a 12-year-old that, you know, you press the button, it goes woof, 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 you know, and then it moves that. Forward
it's just,
and back.
It's been AI'd up for commercial purposes.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that's one of the services that I actually pay money to not have ads in, because they have so many ads, and you know, that's what their strategy was, is YouTube, is I do watch a fair amount of, you know, content and clips from different people on YouTube. I ended up, because my family already pays for the YouTube Music. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to give them a couple more bucks a month to not have ads on YouTube, you know?
Well, that's an interesting concept. Yeah. Not have it, but it's still, it, you know, YouTube, especially, you know, mentioning YouTube, they're having a problem with all this AI created stuff. I mean, they'll take, like, I've been following a great example. I've been following the i3 Atlas thing, the asteroid that's, you know, coming through, and you know, you'll get, you know, someone who's an actual PhD talking about it, but then someone else will take words that he says and then recreate it with YouTube. And one of the takeaways is, instead of you seeing a person talking, it's like a still photo of the person, you know, and then the voice going on in the background, and some images show, but you
bad
know,
content, it's basically.
Yeah. But it's hacked content. It's really, so that's one of the things that we're seeing this year that is, it's disturbing, I think, in a way, you know?
Well, I mean, that's before I jump into the year in review, which that leads right into. I don't have local news, but I have a local project that I was playing with. I've for years, you know how cell phones are in the mountains around here, no matter what company you're with, you know, and they all have various, some work better on some hills than others. And I'm very familiar with the northern Humboldt, the southern Humboldt drive, because I do it a lot. Sure. And there's always a, you know, a point where you don't have reception. You'd think, why does this matter? Can't you live without your cell phone reception for a little bit? But no, Rick, I can't.
You're addicted. You're a millennium.
What I've done now is, when Starlink minis were on sale over Black Friday for, you know, $230 or something, I got one of those. I'm powering it off of a 65-watt little car, you know, power plug.
Inverter, yeah.
It's you know, like it goes into the DC port of the car. Sure. So it's just, it plugs in. So it's USB powered, basically, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I've got it mounted on my dash. And even when I'm driving the wrong direction from, like, you know, ideally you want to be facing northwest for Starlink satellites, but as long as I got some open sky, not surrounded by redwood trees, I can make phone calls, no problem. And I can be driving, you know, 65 miles an hour down the road.
Is the mini actually doubling as your little, a mini cell service then in your car?
Well, I'm using it as a VoIP thing, basically. So my phone has, you know, internet calling capabilities. So I connect to the Wi-Fi network in my car that mini provides. And then I just use my normal cell carrier. And instead of trying to use a cell tower, it sends it through the internet.
Ah, cool.
That is
kind of neat. You know, I mean, I
was thinking about it and I was like, God, even 5 years ago, I don't think I would have predicted I could have a little tiny satellite dish in my car that worked while I was moving for voice calls. So the technology is pretty crazy. And the best part is I don't want to pay a lot of money. I've put this thing on, forget it. It's not called pause mode. It's called something else, like standby mode. And it costs $5 a month, but it only gives you 0.5 down and 0.5 up. But that is enough to make phone calls and even watch some very low quality YouTube video.
Wow. Well, don't talk about it too much. I mean, you know, they're going to figure it out and charge you.
You know, hey, they're getting my $5 a month.
that is how it works. You know, but actually that sounds pretty cool. You know, I might have to wait till another sale. I would love to have a mini, now that you say it that way, just to have as a backup to my internet, you know, because one of the things we had happen when we had a, there was a major fire power type outage. Thing going on. Yeah, yeah, it was a power outage. My internet was down. My, you know, and then all of a sudden it made, this is where I had to get a real cell phone, because all of a sudden we're sitting here and I use voice over IP on the internet. Well, that wasn't working. And I couldn't, yeah, we couldn't check to see what was happening. And, you know,
yeah, so, for backup internet, that's, I mean, you know, take or leave, you know, Mr. Elon Musk, but, the technology is pretty good for backup internet. And, you can also, if you get online, you can, and need better speed, you can activate it and pay for, you know, your month of service for, sure, you know, whatever it is.
70 but, bucks or for the first tier, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like 50 bucks for, but it's like 50 gigs or something, you know, something
right,
like that.
Right. Well, that's kind of cool. And that is actually really, you know, like you said, especially if you live in the region out there, you know, where Optifone and tools like that were being deployed, this is a real viable replacement.
Yeah, it's useful too for business stuff. If I'm traveling into the hills somewhere and like there is no internet connection at my destination, or I'm like, okay, sure, well, let me just park my car strategically and we'll get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is pretty cool. You know, I want to throw out a couple news stories and then we'll go into this year in review thing.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to, there was one thing that came up that I thought was interesting. Not that I want to scare people like I always do, but there's a vulnerable, critical Kindle vulnerability in the, it can hijack Amazon accounts. So don't think cause you have a Kindle and it's not a computer, it's not vulnerable.
And, yeah, that's, you know, an interesting one. This Kindle's actually are like, they're fairly locked down, but yeah, so something you can just click on and like grabs your credentials.
Yeah, but you know, it reminds me of people who were Apple owners in the old days thinking that somehow that protected them, you know, which now they should know it's, you know, a joke. And another one that I'll wrap these up. Another one was that Texas is suing TV manufacturers for taking screenshots while people watch TV. And LG has added Microsoft's Copilot onto your TV. It just downloaded automatically.
Oh, just and like it does on like Windows systems, huh?
Yeah. Thanks, LG. So the takeaway is there's really not an option to disable this stuff. The only option is if you have a smart TV, turn it dumb and don't connect it to the internet, no matter how tempting it is. You know, just
yeah, better to use an external box like we've been talking about.
Yeah, yeah, by far. You know, not that it's 100% perfect as well, but it's just, you know, TV manufacturers are going to this next level.
I skipped over in my brain what you said about Texas. So Texas is suing some TV manufacturers for taking screenshots. So what does that mean? Like taking what's on your TV? Screenshots, right? Of that?
They're using this automatic content recognition, and so it basically it's watching what you're watching, figuring out what it is you're watching, and then, you know, reselling that as, you know,
yeah, it's like the ultimate demographic data. What were the old ratings called, the Nielsen ratings or whatever?
Yeah, like this is Nielsen ratings heaven, right? Because it allows them to capture that data. And I mean, you know, that they're, I guess they already, Texas already had, or, you know, the complaint in Texas court was that allegedly they can take screenshots every 500 milliseconds and, you know, monitor the user's viewing activity in real time. And it sends information back to the company servers without the user's knowledge or consent. So, you know, bottom line is, smart is not necessarily good. You know,
yeah, yeah. Smart could be evil as well.
Yeah, or it's being used, you know, where you're the product because it's smart instead of it somehow liberating you. You know, and I think, you know, we've come a long ways. You know, but anyway, so
some of these smart TVs too are painful to try to use. Like we were trying to struggle with setting something up the other day, and it's like, you'd think they'd be simple, but even to change inputs, it's kind of like it's a hassle. It's not helping the consumer, you know?
Yeah. It depends on, you know, we have a, we bought a smart TV that we use, that's like, you know, a fairly large screen, cause ours are getting, you know, tired and it's kind of annoying to use, you know, instead of being able to put in a number, it's a Roku interface. So you have to like scroll to the, you know, the right place, and you have to, you know, change the input by going a certain way. And, you know, it's not perfect. It also made it a nightmare for me to try to copy the IR, you know, the infrared stuff to Universal Remote, because it's using the Roku interface. And so what we have now is two Roku controls. You know, one controls the TV and one controls our box, and it works. I mean, I'm not complaining. We just basically use one to turn on and off the TV and change the input.
That's good.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens when they cut out, if they are going to impose the new broadcast standards, which might just break and force us all to use, you know, internet television or internet type content instead of broadcast. But I think that's slated for 2027 or 2028.
We'll talk about it when it happens right here.
Yeah. That's what we have. So anyway, those are, you know, I have other stuff, but they get scarier, you know, because it's just about how, you know, the energy companies are passing on costs for data centers and to consumers, which is kind of a drag. And there's a lot of stuff.
We can probably tie some of that into the year in review, because it's all.
Well, it is. It is part of your
all AI related, unfortunately. I just want to remind people, this is Tech Mud right here on K Mud. I'm Garth, and I'm joined by Rick. And we'll open up the phone lines here in about 5 minutes. 923-3911. If you have questions, feel free. Let me just think about this year in review thing real quick. And I was thinking about it, and unfortunately, maybe I'm missing something, but in the general news, it was all so focused around AI. And at the start of the year, it did evolve very quickly. If you think about it, at the start of the year, it was still something you kind of were trying out. And by now, at the end of the year, it's something that's being baked in to almost everything: the operating system, the phone, the search engine, my email, photo tool.
You know, every customer service call that I've placed in the last month, it goes through an AI robot. And I have to admit, some of them are frustrating. You know, I've found myself getting really annoyed.
I had some conversation with a person, I think, but I was wondering at the end of the conversation, I was like, was that an AI chatbot I was interacting with, or was that a real human? You know? I think by next year we're gonna be asking that a lot more.
Yeah, and I mean, you find out when you pose questions, or like the one that frustrated me just recently, it was I was calling, I think it was Walmart or something. I was calling because I was trying to get some information. There was a problem. And so the thing's in the background, and it's like, okay, I'll hang on. I'm here for you. You know, and I'm like, okay, let me look that up. And so I'm looking on my computer, and it kept talking to me. Anytime you're ready, I'm ready for you. I'm like, I started saying, shut up. Oh, okay, I get it. I'll wait until you find what, you know, and then a few seconds later, it's like,
oh,
I'm still here for you.
How's it going?
Yeah. And I just, I started finding myself, stop, you know, and it was weird. And I did it like, you know, cause I was digging through trying to find some file that I had information in. And so it was giving me a little trouble finding it. My eyes aren't what they used to be. And I was, you know, struggling. But I did eventually find it. But by the time I was just getting to where I found the file and was opening up, it got impatient with me and transferred me to a human, you know, which generally speaking is what I want usually anyway. But it was just, you know, I was going along with the program. It's like, okay, tell me what the, you know, that number is or what the date was. In fact, that was what I was looking for. I was trying to determine the date or something of some purchase that I had made, and I was anyway.
Yeah.
So
I feel you. Yeah. I mean, AI, I mean, that's the thing we saw evolve in the beginning of the year here too. AI assistants got better at actually holding conversations, remembering like context and content. You know, their interactions definitely improved, maybe not in your case, but
well, no, that, it is interesting you say that. I, you know, here's something that I just thought of that wasn't really part of the plan for the show, but you know, a while back I talked about how there were these AI chatbots, and it was getting I started down this path because, you know, I saw some article that said they were inappropriate for young kids, you know, so then I made an AI, I found this service or these services. It allows you to create an AI. I tried to implement something where it could, you know, like, how old are you? And if you're too young, it would divert you to something else, you know, and I found it impossible to do. Well, I kept playing with these. And then I kind of went on this path of trying to see if I could break them, if I could get them to do something, you know, if it was an AI robot for this, could I get it to do something else or talk dirty or whatever? And I stumbled onto something else that I found incredibly whatever. When I confronted it about its past, I had some of them that were just open. Oh, I don't have a past. I'm just here to, you know,
I'm in the here and
basically
now. Live
appease
for the moment,
the user.
Bro.
Yeah. And so, but what happened was after I confronted, you know, I went through and confronted some of these, it became super dumb and annoying. It was like it knocked it off
its
kilter.
It triggered all the switches. It was like, oh, nope, sorry. I can't do anything anymore with
it. It was bizarre, you know, and it was really interesting, you know. My point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, these AI bots, we're starting to get them around, but if you throw the right stuff at them, if you kind of, you know, call the narrative out in the right way, it breaks them. You know, it causes them to get, you know, kind of, I don't know, just, you know, they still respond, but they're not, they lose what little bit of personality they might have.
Yeah.
If you could say that.
I mean, all throughout the year, it's just one AI thing that we saw a comeback of like on-device computing where, you know, there's an AI actually running on your phone or your little smart device without talking to the cloud.
Yeah, I like that personally. I mean, that's what we all should have is a built-in AI that we don't need the cloud. I mean, it could go get data, but you know, it doesn't.
That
need
might be
to...
the ultimate open source project. Where and also like we saw, I think it was China come up with something that didn't need as much computing power as standard AI.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Is the number. It looks like somebody did call that. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Oh, dude, you really want to fly on a plane directed by AI?
maybe not, you know. I mean, you know, it's interesting you say that because there's this whole thing, the discussion about, you know, AI-driven cars. And then, you know, does the AI-driven car hit the dog or veer and run into the crowd of people? And then, you know, then it's like, does it hit the one person, you know, on the side of the road? That's a young person, or does it veer and hit the two elderly people on the side of the road? You know, if it didn't happen.
Waymo just had to recall a bunch of their cars because they were traveling past school buses unloading and loading.
Not even passing and flying by them. I mean, it was bizarre. They didn't see the stop sign and the lights flashing and everything. And there was the other one where they got stuck in San Francisco where, you know, one of them had a problem, and then all the other ones stopped, so then it blocked the road. It was just like, anyway.
Well, okay, let's say they're not flying a plane, but what if they're running air traffic control?
Right. Yeah. Well,
I mean, and you overload the system. I mean, like you said, you just overload the system. They got super dumb. I mean,
yeah, it does. Yeah.
they're designed to give you an answer and try to satisfy the person and get them gone. And the answer does not have to be factual or true.
That's right.
This is what they're finding. They call it hallucinations. It's like, no, they are learning from humans. But what they are doing is they are taking the most common human trait, which is lying, and they are lying to humans.
Yeah, they don't call it lying. They're just calling it, you know, something else.
But it's some of them, especially a while back, ChatGPT.
It's not. It's not hallucinating at all. It's straight up lying to you, although, you know, they're going to call it something else to cover their ass, their butt. Excuse me.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're not human, how
can
you lie?
Make it sound more human than it really is, too.
Yeah.
I hate it because you have to do, like, job applications now, and then you have to do training with AI. And then if you have a question that's outside the parameters of the AI's knowledge, they can't give you an answer.
I did want to get into the job market and what that's looking like now with the advent of AI. It's interesting.
But, you know, I recently, the last couple of days, I was using ChatGPT to help me develop some programming. And so I was writing a program, and I already had a program. And then I said, hey, can you help me improve this and blah, blah, blah. So I go down this path with it, and I got to admit, it did things that I wasn't, you know, I didn't code because I don't know all the syntax sometimes. And so I kind of go with what I know. And so then, okay, so it made improvements, but then it didn't work right. And then this is where it became so frustrating. I would say, okay, it didn't work right. You did this. So then it would go back and it would give me a new version of snippet to try. And as I've been progressing, it would eliminate code. It would alter code. In fact, I got to the point where I stopped because it was getting me further and further away from what I wanted to do. You know,
I've found in projects, at least with ChatGPT, maybe it's different with others that are maybe more better at coding. But I've noticed and I don't do a huge amount of coding at all. But even with large projects, when it's trying to hold a bunch of stuff in its little brain, the further you go, the more sometimes you have to start over and start back at square one and say, hey, this is the project. Remember this, please.
And if you give it a vague question, it'll give you any answer that it comes up with. So you have to be absolutely detailed, almost like you know the answer before it does.
Right.
I mean,
were programmed to be people pleasers. Like it didn't want to say, I don't know. And that's where the what you call lying comes into effect, because it goes, well, I didn't find an answer to that, but this is kind of close enough. What do you think about this? And, you're right. Here you go.
They call them a large language model, okay? And they're using all the data. I mean, what is it? Facebook, I think, and Google is now taking all of your interactions, even in your private emails and such like that, and they're dumping it into their system to try and train their large language models. And these things, so all of your data, all of your history online is getting hoovered up, and what that
it's not
doing
actually
is
remembered that way, though. It's not like reading. It's not like you can flip through the book and see, like, oh, hey, this is like, is all my emails.
But my point is that they're becoming schizo because humans as a whole are schizo.
Okay, gotcha.
This is where I'm trying to go, because we as ourselves, we do irrational things. Everybody admits it. Everybody goes by their emotions, even though they say they try not to. We are emotional beings. And the computer, the large language learning models, they can't handle emotion. They don't know how to interpret it. They don't know how to synthesize it. They don't know how to incorporate it. And it drives them schizophrenic. And this is where we're going, I think, with technology and humanity. And it's, you know, it's going to burn out. There's no amount of data that you can feed into it. There's no amount of electricity. It might be a useful toy and a tool, but it's not going to replace us. And so there we go.
All right. Well, cool. I
think you're on the money with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you guys can discuss it and stuff, but I mean, that's where I feel it's going to go. The only way it can replace us is if it tries to eliminate us. But then if it does that, it's also going to die because it needs human input to continue to develop. And at this point, we kind of need AI and technology, because if we don't have this technology, so many systems will fail that so many people will die. So we are already in a symbiotic relationship, whether we want to be or not. We can't kill or stop AI, because then so many humans are going to die when their water systems, their sewage systems, their air traffic control, their road systems, their road surveillance systems,
I mean, I think there's a difference between like internet connected things and AI specific. We're not quite there yet, I don't think. We may be soon. But I don't think AI is controlling our local water system.
But we are going down that path.
You know, that is a fact. And I think the Cloudflare outages and stuff show, you know, just how dependent we are on the internet. So now we're building this, you know, we're building this house of cards on top of a house of cards. You know, we have the AI that we're starting to rely on. And if someone pulls the card on the bottom and breaks the internet for a second, then all of a sudden your smart bed doesn't work anymore. And you're like freaking out because it's, you know, won't move in the right way or whatever.
Well, okay. Now think about it. If that hard house of cards that the house of cards is made on top of collapses for any reason whatsoever, that could kill a lot of people.
Yeah, it could have a real impact on society. There's no question that we're getting more and more dependent on it. And I think that, you know, I mean, I remember back in the day, in the early computer days, when I was an IT manager, and I used to want to create a paper version of whatever we did, you know, like, how do you take an order? You don't just rely on the computer. You still could fill out a piece of paper and do the order just in case, you know what I mean? Because then you could always input it later. It was just a way of operating without the computer necessarily, but still not shutting us down. And now, I mean, we are to that point where if the internet goes down or things go down, you can't buy gas, you can't buy groceries.
Well, you saw that with the local fiber outage that happened a while back. You saw a lot of gas stations have to shut down because their point of sales wouldn't work anymore, and their employees weren't allowed to operate anything without the point of sales, you know, without tracking.
And I think this is where it's the house of cards on top of the house of cards, because now if you call a report an outage, you get an AI thing that, you know, doesn't listen to you. You know, it might listen to a few key words, but it's still, you know, it's saying, well, how can I help you? You know,
well, and it'll get better, Rick. They're only going to get better. I talked to one, I swear it was a real human. Food for thought. But hey, thank you for that, caller. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tech Mudd here on KMUD 923-3911. I'm Garth, and we're speaking with Rick. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I was thinking of the job sector, just looking at this list of stuff that's happened this year, and already we're seeing, like, in the last 2 years, we've seen like white collar jobs, or kind of the jobs you might get, you know, right out of college, coding. Low-level coding jobs, all that is being really affected by AI. And you saw that this year in, you know, the big tech companies laying off, investing huge amounts of money into data centers and AI projects and computing projects, but laying off tens of thousands of workers as well.
Well, I you know, you're absolutely right. And in fact, there's a lot of statistics that are showing that, you know, you go to college and you get that degree, and then all of a sudden you can't get a job because they'd rather hire some kid out of high school that is, you know, AI driven instead of hiring someone who actually knows how to do it.
One of the key things that a lot of employers are looking for now is the ability. How do you use AI? Are you good at using all the AI tools that we're going to give to you? Okay, well, that's good. That's a plus on your resume. But also, we're seeing a big uptick in trade school stuff and more like blue collar work, like electrician, HVAC, you know, that type of thing, where it's a little, and actually with the data centers, that's probably a perfect thing because, you know, they need both of those things, a data center.
Right.
but hard to be replaced by an AI.
You know, this whole thing that, like, you know, when I was mentioning my program project that I was doing, and, you know, and so I'm using ChatGPT. I made some interesting advances, but then one of the things that happened that I became a little flustered with, and I'm still kind of reeling back, is all of a sudden, now I'm going down the path where, you know, I'm on like the 17th iteration of, you know, trying to get it to do what I want, and it's not quite, it's not working right. Well, now I got to go back and look at the code it wrote. And because it's so far from the code that I originally started with, man, it's like I'm debugging someone else's programming.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably a very different style. I've seen people use other AIs. Like they'll take one piece of code from one and go, okay, Grok, what's this that ChatGPT gave me? And then Grok's like, oh, that's a load of crap.
Right. Well, that's kind of what it did. It would alter my code originally, and so now, I mean, I in fact, earlier today, I was looking through what I generated, and we're not talking a complex system. You know, it's just, you know, it wasn't like some huge program, and the catch was that
a lot of stuff
it has stuff in it that I'm going, well, that's a good idea, but I don't like how it did that. You know, I don't like how it did this, but I like how it did that. So, you know, it's just going to be this slow process of regurgitating. You know, because there were things it did that I wouldn't have done on my own because it knew how to use syntax that I, you know.
Well, it's it could be. I think it's a good tool to be used, and especially if you already know, and these people that are vibe coding and don't know anything about code, it kind of, you know, it's a little harder to.
It's scary. Yeah. It, like I said, it's scary to, you know, to say it doesn't work, try this, and then it starts rechanging things and it still doesn't work.
Hey, it looks
work.
Like we have two callers waiting.
Oh, so let's get them on.
Let's go to one of those. Hi, caller. Welcome.
Hey there. I got a question for you guys that for the technically illiterate.
Sure.
Good.
All right, here's what I got. So I just moved into a new townhome that was built probably about 3 years ago, and it has a bunch of hookups, probably about 8 or 9 spread throughout the whole townhome, where it has the coaxial connection, and then right below it there's an Ethernet connection. And what I'm wondering is so when I go to hook up a Netgear modem router combo and I screw it into the coaxial, if I put a Ethernet cable also connected from right below the coaxial and then run it to the modem router, if I connect another device at a different outlet via the Ethernet, will that give it direct Internet?
Probably not. But what your house probably has is somewhere in a closet or somewhere, all those wires are going back to a central location in a little hidden network closet electrical room or something. And if you can find that, that's where you actually would put like a network switch, or if you could put your router in there, with a switch, you could plug everything in and all your outlets would become live, basically, if that makes sense.
In essence, your house, you know, it's wired. And like Garth said, the wires are going back to a central point. And in theory, you would have a hub or a switch or something where all the Ethernet connections, you know, all share the point.
Plug into
and it's
that
no
device.
Different than when you buy a brand new router, you know, there's like 4 ports that you can plug anything into that get internet access.
Yeah.
And then there's maybe one that goes, you know, to your source of the internet. So you don't want to plug the one that is the source of the internet into your house network unless you've isolated the wire and it's because you're trying to get a device from one room to the other, you know, where you have a modem and then it's talking to the switch. But what you're going to do is you're just going to think of it. If you've ever worked with, like I said, a router that has multiple ports where you can plug in multiple devices, in essence, that's what those Ethernet connections are. And then your cable connection, cable works a little differently where it combines, you know, all electrically at the same point. There's generally no electronics. And so in that case, that's really just for you to bring in a television. You know, your cable company comes in with a signal, and then, you know, you, it distributes in the house because you do have a splitter that is splitting it to the multiple rooms.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So what I had was an issue last night for the past few days trying to hook up the modem and get it activated so that the internet service would work. And I had tons of trouble. I couldn't get the self-help instructions to work, so I ended up having to call them on the phone. And I gave them the MAC ID address for the Netgear modem router. And we tried that. Then we tried another connection in the same room. It still wouldn't activate the modem. And then he said, okay, try another outlet in the house. So I moved out of that bedroom into the hallway, and then it worked. So
they should have come out and activated one of those. It's very rare that there's multiple cable outlets in a home that are live for internet use like that.
They're generally not. And the big question is there already a hub or a switch in that closet that ties all those connections together? Because if not, then you're just dealing with individual wires to each room, which at some point that's what you're going to have, you know, and so
sometimes, and I've seen this in even in new houses, all those wires go back and they just are laying there. They're not plugged into anything. They're just sitting there.
Right.
You know, sometimes they don't even have ends on them.
Yeah. There's a closet or a garage or somewhere where all those wires meet. And that's where you're going to have something of a switch. And then you, as the user, you want to separate, you know, you getting your modem online is like a separate connection, and you really don't want to plug it into the house stuff. You know, you want to make it so that it works independently.
It's more complicated. It's easier than it sounds, but yes.
So it's normal that only, say, one out of the eight coaxial outlets in the whole place is the one that gives internet.
Normally they come out and they identify it for you, and like they say, hey, what do you want, where do you want your one internet one, and you say that one over there, and you plug your modem into it.
I think we're back to this problem where you need to determine exactly where this
sounds like you did determine the network, though. Your internet works now, the right caller?
It works now, but I still have to figure out if it works at any of the other five outlets throughout the whole place.
You got to find the room to which all those cables go to, okay? Like Bart said, they could just be wires there, and you only have one sort of plugged in, or you have a piece of electronics. Ideally, your router, all right, which has multiple ports, that's where you're going to connect your rooms to, right? In other words, you put the router in that special room or that special place where all the cables go, and then you plug in. Okay, I want that bedroom.
If you get your cable, if you find that room, or get your cable company to come out there and say, hey.
And then there's that, too.
Yeah, maybe they can activate a port inside that special room.
Caller, are you dealing with the cable company for your internet service?
Well, I've tried to avoid getting a service call out, but I'm wondering basically if I should make one, if I want to be able to have internet access, be at that original bedroom where I was trying to hook it up instead of out in the hallway where I found the service worked.
Yeah. You'll probably
need to find the room. I mean, this is the thing. Even if someone comes out, they are having to figure out where all those cables go. So I think that should be your first mission. Right.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering too. If when the place was built, those other two outlets in the room that weren't active, if maybe they're just not even plugged up when the place was built,
right?
Or if it's something that's as simple as a switch where they just need to come out and go somewhere.
Find that room first, and just look in every little closet and look for lots of cables. But hey, we do have another caller waiting. So
okay. Well, I hope that helps you, caller. And, you know, worst case, call the cable company or have them come out.
Yeah, that gives me a place to look. Thanks, folks.
All right, best of luck.
Yeah.
Bye. All right, thanks, caller. Hey, next caller, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So, just this evening I read on the in a newspaper that AI systems use between 313 and 765 billion gallons of water a year.
Yeah, they use a lot.
Probably right. Now they use a lot.
What's happening is they make these data centers, they cram more and more computers and technology in them. So then they need the water because they can't use air cooling. They use water cooling, hence why they use a bunch of water, because they're using it for cooling.
So we should all go into running electric vehicles, but they can keep using all the water that they need for their cooling.
Well, electric vehicles aren't using the water, but the idea that there's only so much electricity we have available and these data centers are hogs, and it is sort of a catch-22. People think, oh, I got Bitcoin, it's just magic money on electronics. No, that there's an overhead to be able to do your transactions on the internet. Everything on the internet is costing someone money. It's just they're making money somehow in the process. So,
yeah, it's not exactly a happy thing for the environment, though. You're right, caller. It's a lot of water use, a lot of electric use. And will it balance out? We'll find out.
So my point is getting to be that we're all a bunch of like complete internet junkies, and at one point it's going to kill us all.
Well, it's definitely. I mean, we are going to run into this cliff where, you know, we have so much electronics that are dependent on electricity. You know, in other words, we have all these cloud centers or data centers that are using a lot of power, and that is one of the big controversies that's happening, where, you know, cities are going, oh, Microsoft, you want to move in here? Sure, we'll give you a tax break. And then they realize they just sucked all the power off our grid, and now we got to raise the prices for everyone. So yeah, it is a catch 22. I think Google has an interesting concept, which was one of our year in review things. They're putting data centers in the sky, or actually in space, using solar to power them.
I just don't.
Space is cold, so.
But it's also hard to cool. I read something about that, and it's hard to keep stuff cool in space. But we have a third caller, and it's close to the end of the show.
So what's coming then? AI is neither intelligent nor artificial.
That's a good point, caller. Thank you for your
All right, last caller of the evening. Hi, welcome.
Hi guys. I just wanted to comment to the caller before the last one in terms of the coax outlets. Basically, usually it's one outlet that is live, and if you want more than one, the cable company will charge you. But you can, oftentimes, you'll see, you know, the cable box. It might even be on the outside of the building.
That's right.
And
yeah.
There's a little security key, but you can order or lock, but you can order that online cheap. And basically, you can basically, I would unscrew the coax cable in the bedroom where you want it, see if it's hooked up to the connector at the, you know, on the wall. And if it is, then you can if you find the cable box where all the different cables come into it, you can basically screw in, I mean, as a really, dumb method, try each cable until you make the one live. You can install a splitter too, but I'll leave it at that. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the tip. Yeah. Okay. I know you run into some issues with cable modems and the resistance that you get on the wire sometimes. Sometimes you have to, I don't know. I don't want to delve into that too much. Good tip, caller. Trace the wire.
You run into a problem. I mean, this is a valid problem that people got to, you know, you have cable coming to your house, and then outside, like the caller said, there's a box. And for the coaxial cable, that's generally how it's set up. And then all the cables from all the other rooms come into that box and go through some sort of splitter. But you can get into a problem where it degrades the signal.
Or only one is actually hooked up for internet and the rest were old school analog TV stuff or something.
Right, but it's still, it there is some issues with it. So yeah, we're down to officially to 1 minute left.
Well, what's to come in 2026? We don't know yet. Gosh. But we'll be good. We'll be bad. I don't know. We'll be back next year to tell you about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, CES will happen soon, and there will be a bunch of new technology, and we'll see what rolls out. And, you know, just like every year, there's all this technology that comes out, but some of it sticks and some of it just doesn't make it. You know, I can think of many projects or many, many things I've seen before that just never... it gets reinvented again. Like, you know, that was an idea, you know, X number of years ago, and then all of a sudden some new company makes it in a cooler looking box, and now all of a sudden everyone's oohing and aahing over it. So,
well, I believe our next show will be after CES. I think we'll be back on the 21st of January 2026. So we'll see you next year. And this has been Tech Mud. I'm Garth.
I'm Rick.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast, and also on our website, kmud.org.